We're preaching a few messages on walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Our key verse is found in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse number 1, I'll remind you, the Apostle Paul has been unveiling the great mystery of the church and how that we are, as God's people, as those who are saved, put our faith in Christ, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Amen. He has made us acceptable. That's amazing because He's holy, but He's made us acceptable in Christ. And then we have been given all authority to represent Him on the earth as the body of Christ. And God has invested great power and manifested through His church and through their faithful testimony and witness. And so now the Apostle Paul's prayer is they will understand the greatness, the vastness, what is so incredible about this great calling God has given to us. And he says here in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, bringing to a great conclusion, bringing to an application, he says, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. If you will, go ahead and begin turning over to Colossians, if you will, in chapter number 1, and we'll find our next scripture. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. As you and I mentioned last time, the way of review, that in simple terms, that if you're a Christian today, if you're saved, a child of God, we know what the great emphasis is, that we are to act like it. Amen? That's pretty simple. We're to act like it, we're to look like it, we're to talk like it, we're to live like it. We're to walk worthy of this vocation. You and I have a calling. We've been called of God out of the darkness of this world. Thank God for that. I'm glad today. Listen, I'm not walking in this world of darkness, having no idea what life is about and what is going to happen to me and what's going to happen to the world. I'm glad today that God has shined the light of truth in my heart. We've been called out of this world. This great calling of the church also is I've been called from a wasted, carnal, wicked life. God has called you out of that. God has called you unto holiness. God has called you unto righteousness. God has called us unto Christ and called us out of a worldly life which will perish. This world's going to perish. And all those that have placed their attachment upon it. We've been called to a precious fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ, that you and I can walk with the Son of God, that we know Him, He knows us, and that we can call Him Savior and Lord, we can call Him our King and our Shepherd, and we call Him, listen, our Savior. And I'm glad today I have a fellowship with Jesus. That is a calling. And I'm glad you answered the call. We are called to be witnesses. We are called as an ambassador, listen, of His kingdom. We are called to be kings and priests in this world. We are called His children. We are called the sons of God. And so great is our calling today. If you are saved today, then you have a great calling. And so God says, I want you to walk worthy of that call. Walk worthy. We have traced our key word is the word meet, M-E-E-T. And we've seen as we trace that word that it gives us the wonderful understanding of what this worthy walk is. What is this worthiness of our vocation? The word that meet here is the word for suitable, that which is appropriate, that which is consistent with our calling. And so as you and I understand that, Paul has made some statements in the Scripture about certain groups of believers, and he said in reference to those believers, it was meet for him to think that they were the real thing. That their life, that their attitudes, their conduct, their behavior, their beliefs, their practices was consistent with what a believer, a true believer, really is. And so he said, it's meet for me to think this about you because the evidence is there. And so what is that evidence that would portray a worthy walk? We saw, first off, that evidence was seen when Paul made that comment. It was meet concerning the Philippians because of their fellowship in the gospel. They were partnered with Him. They were joined with Him. They were excited with Him. They were united with Him. They were committed with Him. Why? Because they shared the gospel of Christ in common. And you remember, it wasn't religion. It wasn't because they were Jews, because many of them were Gentiles. It crossed all those lines, brought them, bound them together. Why? Because of their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that joined them. He said, it's meet for me to think that you're the real thing. Why? Because of your fellowship in the gospel. There are religious groups gathered all around the world. But he said, the true believer, listen, he has a bond with those who know the truth that Jesus saves the sinner. Then secondly, we saw that it was meet for me to think this about to these believers because they were vessels of honor. We looked last time that a vessel of honor, listen, is not something that's gold and polished and magnificent to look at. It's just simply a container, that is clean and a container that has character. In other words, what God puts in is what comes out. That's a vessel of honor. It is not mixed up with worldly ideas and with human reason, human wisdom. It is not tainted by human corruption. But God said, you're a vessel of honor because God put His Word in there. And when it's poured out from you, that's the way it comes out without being watered down and compromised adjusted to the culture. Listen, it just came in and it came out and it wasn't corrupted. God said, hey, you know what? That's a good sign. That it's meet to think of them as the real thing, walking worthy. Now notice with me in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll have our next one today, in walking worthy, the vocation where we're called. Look in verse number 10, chapter 1, Colossians, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now the truth is, we could preach that message on all those verses about walking worthy of vocation, but I want to call your attention to our word, verse number 12, He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Made us meet, that is, made us suitable, appropriate, that we are consistent in showing that we are worthy, that we have been made meet to partake of His glorious inheritance. Now let's think about that for a little bit here this morning. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Paul said, it is meet, it is suitable, it is consistent with a true believer, with walking worthy, that God has made him suitable, appropriate, that God has made him meet to be a partaker of His inheritance. Now, we know that inheritance is to receive that which is earned, obtained, or purchased by another. You and I, as we stop to recognize that we are blessed today, and we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You and I understand today that if you are a saved man, you are the wealthiest man on the earth, for you have the greatest treasure, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. And with Christ, you have eternal life. Nothing greater. Nothing more precious. Nothing came at a greater price. Peter said it this way, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. thank God today, of what we will receive when we receive Christ. Boy, the New Testament begins to unfold all that we have in Him, and truly, we have the riches of His glory that He has given unto the saints. That's what Paul was praying before he introduced that great text of walking worthy. He said this in Ephesians 1, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." Paul is saying, listen, I hope it gets hold of you what you have in Jesus Christ. I hope it'll grab hold of you and you'll realize, listen, what is the great riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Now, what do we have in Christ? Well, that would take us 6 months to preach. But let me just say this, that thank God tonight, or this morning, I have eternal redemption in Christ. Thank God because of Jesus, I have truth, and truth in the inward parts. Thank God I have forgiveness of sins. I have joy and peace in my soul. I have the Holy Spirit of God. I have an eternal home and will receive an incorruptible body and walk upon streets of gold and have a place in the Father's house for eternity. And listen, that's just a brief summary of what we have in Christ. Listen, that's your calling. That's your calling to an inheritance that is given unto you. It's a life that we could describe, a great life that God has given us in Christ. It's a life that will one day be sinless. It's a life that will be tearless after He wipes all tears away. It will be painless. It will be sorrowless. It will be ageless. It will be deathless. It will be timeless. That's what we have in Christ. God has called you unto Himself. And look at all we have in Jesus Christ and all that we shall inherit. Now let's notice here the Scripture and the emphasis here. He said, listen, that you testify that you are worthy of the calling, showing that God has made you meet or suitable to receive this inheritance. You've heard the Scripture, cast not your pearls before swine. That's often a challenging verse for us to make application, isn't it? Brother Charles asked me about that a couple of years ago. It's a challenging verse to make application. As to when do we use that? But in simple terms, we can see that it simply means that the hog cannot see the value of precious stones. Means nothing. Means nothing to a hog. It means nothing to a hog. Reminds me of a funny story I might tell you sometime about. You may have heard it. Time means nothing to a hog. But anyway, it means nothing to a hog. And so, you don't cast pearls before hogs because they're not going to look up and worship you. They're not going to look up and say, wow, I didn't know you cared. Now listen, they're going to trample them when they realize it's not food. Okay? And it's going to be buried in the mud. And so what the Apostle Paul is indicating here, listen, that true salvation is a conversion. It is a change. It is a new nature. It is the transformation of the earthly mind into the heavenly mind. Notice in the context what he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have been, listen, affected. We have been changed. Gloriously, God has come in and taken earthly-minded, earth-dwelling, carnal-minded, this present world-minded people, and now has opened up the whole arena of God's kingdom and God's glory and all the promises and all the wealth and riches we have in God. And He's gotten a taste of it, and now He desires it, and now He has set His affections on things above. Now, the things of earth no longer are His worship. The things of earth are no longer His blessed hope. That His mind is not occupied with just the material and earthly things of life. The Apostle Paul reveals to us, listen, that if we have hope in this life only, then we are, listen, like most men, most miserable. If this is it, then listen, the glory and wonder of life begins to fade quickly. If that's all there is. If it's going to end in death and the grave, truth is it won't end there. But listen, as a man thinks, listen, if he's occupied with just what this world has to offer, then the truth is, listen, he has no real hope. Paul wrote this. He said, listen, when he wrote the Romans, listen, if we hope for that which we see, listen, then what kind of hope is that? That's not the hope of faith. No, faith is believing what is not seen that God has told us about. God has told us of all the wonder and glory He has for His children. Those things are not seen, but they're told to us by God. And you know what happens? When a man is saved, when he puts faith in Christ, that world opens up to him. It becomes a reality to him. And listen, he begins to reach and grab hold on what God has promised. And so, when you and I, when we start pressing for higher ground and higher hopes and better things, the things of this world begin to fade and lose their wonder, lose their glitter. Listen, no longer do they carry the same weight, do they offer to us the same excitement, because we have tasted of better things and we have seen the good things that God has in store. And so to this carnal mind, to the earthly mind, to the worldly mind, to the wicked mind, they have no interest in these things promised unto us. They simply cannot appreciate them. You remember what happened in Matthew 13 when the sower spread the seed. The Bible said the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. That they became so this present world minded that the word of God did not take root. The word of God lifts you beyond the misery and beyond the guilt and beyond the sin and beyond the death and beyond the grave. He lifts us higher and shows that great things are in store for God's children. And so the word of God, listen, comes, and if it takes root, it will translate you from this kingdom to the kingdom to come. It will alter your affections. It will change your priorities. It will change your outlook and your attitude. For God has given birth in your soul to things that are more precious, more wonderful, things that have permanence, things that will last, things that are eternal, things that are glorious. God has given us His Word to awaken men. But many, the care of the world, the sickness of riches, choked the Word of God out. Listen to what Paul and Barnabas said. The Bible said they waxed bold and said it was necessary that the Word of God first should have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Paul said it was necessary. It was required. We preach it to you first. But I'm paraphrasing. You had no interest in it. You had no interest in. Therefore, we're headed to the Gentiles to tell them of the glory and wonder of Jesus Christ, what He has done for you and what He will do, because you have judged yourself unworthy of those things. They were not made meet to be partakers. And so, what is it to walk worthy of the vocation? We find as we trace our little word meet that we find out that, listen, here's an indication, here's a testimony that people are the real thing, that they are walking worthy, that they have a testimony that is consistent with what a child of God is to be, because we can see that God has done a work in their heart, and listen, given them affection on things above, and listen, they have a desire for the things of Christ, and so God has made them worthy to receive it in the sense, number one, that they appreciate. They appreciate it. In simple terms, to walk worthy, the vocation we're called, is to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen? Appreciate what He's done for you. The Bible said, and all the angels stood around the throne about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne of God and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving, honor and power might be unto our God forever and ever. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that sat on the throne and worshiped Him that liveth forever and cast their crowns before the throne. Now listen, we are made meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Why? Because we appreciate what Christ has done. And how do we show that appreciation? We worship Him. We worship Him. Walk worthy of the vocation. Where would God have called you? Now listen, you're made meet. God has prepared you to receive an inheritance. He's not casting purple horse. Why? Because, listen, the true believer appreciates and he shows it by worship and praise and honor and glory unto Christ. And so listen, when there's an occasion to worship Him, the real thing shows up to worship. People who can't find time to work it in their schedule to worship Christ do not appreciate what He's done. They're not made meet to prepare the inheritance because they wouldn't appreciate it. You and I have seen through the demise of the culture and the entitlement mentality of things that have been left to children that didn't appreciate it. The story of the prodigal son, remember? Listen, it took a lifetime for the father to amass that. He was saving it for them. He went out there and blew it all in a couple of weekends. Why? He didn't appreciate the sacrifice and suffering and the love of his father to provide things for him. We got a world full of that today, don't we? But you know what? Not only do we have children and grandchildren full of that, we have Christians full of that. That don't appreciate what Jesus did, I can tell. You know why? Because they can't find time to show up and worship Him. Listen, Paul said, walk worthy. A worthy walk will bring you to the house of worship, praise Him, worship His name. Give testimony of His goodness and greatness and blessing. And listen, rejoice in Him and utter our mouths to adore Him, to rejoice in Him. Listen, those who cannot make time for worship, those who can't make time to serve Him, listen, are not worthy of this inheritance because they don't appreciate it. No, listen, a worthy walk, a person that's made meet for the inheritance, listen, knows of the great sacrifice that was made and knows of his own unworthiness. And who am I that I could be saved? And who am I that I could have forgiveness of sins? And who am I that I could walk with a king? And so we worship Him and praise Him. The last person ought to be here is this sinner. The last person ought to be in heaven is me. But thank God I will be because Jesus loved this sinner and died and paid a price. Well, listen, to walk worthy is to appreciate this. Listen, the second thing, let me give you quickly. We're made meet to be partakers, not only because we appreciate it, because we appropriate it. We appropriate it. Listen, already you and I have discovered our wealth in Christ. The Bible said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The wealth we have in Christ already. You and I have foretaste of glory divine already. We have experienced these things. Oh, listen, the wealth I have in Christ, I have the dearest friend. I have a friendship, a relationship with God Himself. I have been given, you have been given, if you're saved, an opportunity to commune and communicate with God Himself. I don't think we comprehend what Christ enabled the sinner to do. That's the reason we need a good understanding of the Old Testament. In the days of the law, when God was on that mountain, Brother Tim, you stepped foot on that thing, they carried you out dead because you didn't respect the holiness of God as a sinner. God was unapproachable except through special representation and through a special process of cleansing. Because God was establishing His holiness. You don't realize, neither do I fully comprehend how blessed we are, how wealthy we are to be able to get on our knees and say, Our Father, and be heard. And be heard. Do you realize the wealth we have in Christ? You know what? If I have been given such an incomparable privilege, a worthy walk is to appropriate it. Right? is to approve. What do you mean, preacher? I mean to have the privilege of prayer and then not pray. You say a worthy walk not only appreciates, he appropriates it. All the access I have unto the throne of God. All the blessings I have. Discovering the wealth of Christ. Can you imagine with me for a moment? A crude application. Imagine with me that you were in the will of a wealthy relative. Very well. And you got a letter from the lawyer and said, you're in the will. And it was a very wealthy relative who loved you dearly. And the lawyer called you and said, listen, we had the reading of the will, but you didn't come. And he said, well, I hadn't really had time to worry about it right now. And somebody asked you a little bit later, I heard that when Uncle so-and-so died, you were in the will. Yep. Well, if you don't mind me asking them, it isn't. But did you get something in the will? You know what? I hadn't looked at the thing yet. Now, that's just crude and stupid, right? I ain't even looked at it yet. You know what? There are people who make professions of Jesus Christ. And listen, God's Word unfolds for them the wealth they have in Christ. And you know what? I ain't really looked at it. I ain't really looked at it. You know what privileges and opportunities are given to you besides the great calling and responsibilities? And, oh, I'll get around to it sometime. A crude application, a crude illustration, but certainly a very pointed one. For the great wealth we have in Christ. You say, the worthy walk. We've been made meet to be partakers. Why? Because, listen, those who are born again, those who are saved, those who are walking worthy, they appreciate what Christ has done, and they also are appropriating it. And they're taking advantage of what God has given. Not only discovering the wealth of Christ, discovering the words of life. Look at the words of promise and of hope. Words of success and soundness. Words of life and victory. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What glorious things we've seen in the Word of God that all pertain to us and what He has done and what He will do in our lives and all the principles He gives us of how to live life and how to be blessed and how to avoid the dangers and how to be successful and how to please God and how to know that His favor is upon us and how to avoid the dangers and how to spot the arrows and how to walk in truth and to know that we'll be blessed in days ahead. And yet, could you imagine with me another crude illustration? A man having received and heard of a new medicine that will cure his disease. And yet the doctor calls and said, you skipped your appointment. And someone inquired later, did you go get that treatment? Well, you know, I heard about it, but it's been a couple of years, but I still hadn't gone by it and gotten the treatment. Well, that's a crude illustration. But you imagine today those who profess to know the Lord, and they have before them the words of soundness, the words of blessing, the words of life, the words, listen, of victory. The words, listen, that will teach us and show us how to live and how to have the blessing and favor of God. Have the words that warn us of the devil and his wickedness and warn us of the worldly ways and of his wisdom and teach us the very paths of life that we might learn, listen, how to walk. And yet we seldom spend any time looking or listening to the precious things God has given us instruction. How to be blessed in life from your Creator and from your Savior, and yet not taking the time even to read or heed His message. You see, God looked at these believers and He said, listen, you walk worthy of the vocation. And He said, it's meet that you're a partaker. You know why? Because you show an appreciation truly for what He's done. And you're appropriating what He's done. Listen, You are discovering the riches you have in Christ. You are discovering the words of life. Lastly, you're discovering the witness of the Spirit. The Bible said, but the anointing which we have received of Him abideth in you. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Listen, God, listen, has blessed you, and God has given you from Him a heavenly gift to be able to use to bring glory and honor to Him. Preacher, I don't know anything about those gifts. Well, you should, because God promised you have at least one of them, that you might bring honor and glory to Him. You know what? God's going to reward you, and He's the one that enables you to be able to earn the reward. Matter of fact, you didn't earn it. It was His gift. He's the one that enabled you to serve Him. He was able to take your human efforts, transform them into spiritual things that He could reward. You have an anointing of the Spirit of God, and God has blessed you with spiritual gifts. Let me give you another crude illustration. Imagine discovering that you had an incredible gift just to pick up a musical instrument, and you heard a tune in your head, and next thing you know, all of a sudden, you can reproduce it on that instrument. That is a rare and extraordinary gift. I've actually witnessed it and seen it. I saw it 25 years ago on a morning program of a young man who was probably late 20s. He was called an idiot savant. That is, all his brain power was focused in one area. And he was blind, taken care of by his mother, and he just loved classical music. And so he would sit in there all day, every day, and play her records. She would have to make him get up and do some other things, because he would do it from daylight till dark. So she would make him do some other things and do some exercises and do various things. He was blind, so he was limited. And so one day, she said, now listen, that's enough of those records. That's enough. And so she walked out of the room, went in the kitchen, and you know what? She heard it again. So she comes stomping in there to that living room. And her mouth fell as low as it'd go. Because she said, I told you not to play the record player. And also her mouth went wide open. You know what? He wasn't playing a record player. He was sitting at the piano and reproducing it. And she said it was flawless and sounded exactly like the record. And of course, they put her on a TV program. He demonstrated. And you could play any tune, Brother Cliff. He could reproduce it perfectly on that piano. He'd been blind since he was born. Could you imagine having that kind of gift? And someone asked you about it, and you came up with this response. Well, oh, I ain't touched it in years. The rest of us who struggle, because we'd like to play something on the radio, we'd like to beat you half to death. To have that kind of gift. And that's a crude illustration. I don't think we comprehend the power God gives to His children in order to serve Him and bring Him glory. Sometimes we misquote that verse from Ephesians, but I want to read it to you. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In us. The great power God has manifested in us. Why? To do His will. To bring Him glory. To serve Him. God has given you supernatural ability to serve Him in some capacity. You see, Paul was saying, listen, walk worthy of the vocation. Where were you called? And he said, listen, God hath made us meet to be partakers. He's not casting pearls before swine because, listen, you and I that have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, listen, we are those who appreciate what He's done and worship Him and praise Him with all of our heart. And we are people that appropriate what He's done for us and we are using it. And so when He brings to you the rest of it, it's appropriate. Because God has made it possible that by a transformation of your life, you value heavenly, spiritual, and eternal things. They become precious to you. Sometimes we preach to the world, and the world goes, eh, whatever. They have no appetite for it. Do not appreciate it. Do not appropriate what Jesus Christ is doing. You know why? Because they mind earthly things is all they care about. And so you cast precious pearls before them. The pearls of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, the heavenly home. The pearls of a life, endless, timeless, ageless, painless, sorrowless. And they just trample along the way. Find their next fix in the world. God said, it's appropriate. It's been made meet for you to receive it. Why? Because it's something precious to you. It's something precious and valuable. Walk worthy of the vocation. Appreciate and appropriate what Jesus Christ has done.